أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Now we want to move to another important point. The other side, what are the adilla that whomever abandoned the salat totally is not a kafir. So we finished the adilla of the first group who said that whomever abandoned the salat is kafir, out of laziness or whatever is the reason. And differentiate between the one who says the salat is not obligatory. There is no such a thing as obligation of salat in Islam. The salat is something preferred. You want to do it? Do it. You don't want to? It's up to you. This is where the consensus of the whole ummah is a kafir, because he denied something known from the deen by necessity. As for the one who abandoned out of laziness, we said the ulama and two opinion. We explained the first opinion last lesson. Now, this group of ulama, we're still in the same opinion. They said, some of them, like Ibn Hazm and others, said if you abandon one salat, not joinable salat, or a joinable salat delayed till its other half passed, you become a kafir. How is that? Not joinable salat, which is like what? Al-Fajr. If you wake up for Fajr, today the adhan is 5:27. And you just remain going around, driving, whatever, do out of laziness. You didn't want to pray until sunrise, which is 7 o'clock these days. Then according to them, you are a kafir. That's why Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, in his fatwa, he made it clear. He said, if you set your alarm before you go to sleep to after sunrise, you become a kafir. You sleep as a kafir. Why? Because you intended within your heart that you don't want to pray. See the point? This is one. Second opinion, they said, no, you have to abandon all the salat. Of course, the first opinion, it is a narration from Imam Ahmad. Many ulama, I do not want to go details, just to get a general understanding. And the joinable salat, if to delay Dhuhr till Maghrib, or Asr till Maghrib, or Maghrib till Fajr, or Isha till Fajr, to them you become a kafir. Why Dhuhr till Maghrib? Because they say somebody can delay the salat of Dhuhr to join it with what? Asr are in need, or Maghrib till Isha to join it are in need, or necessity, or whatever. The second opinion, they said, if the name of Musalli is removed from you, that means you abandon the salat totally. Because some people, they join the salat, all of it, till the end of the day. Which is, of course, this is incorrect and wrong. And no alim said that. But just saying, according to the first group of ulama, to them, this person is not a Muslim. According to the second group, yes, he's a Muslim. But he's making a major sin. They say, for example, if someone prayed three, let's say, he prayed Fajr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, he didn't pray Dhuhr out of laziness or that, to them, he's not a kafir. Or he prays Maghrib and Isha and Fajr and Dhuhr and Asr because he's at work, he doesn't pray. To them, he's not a kafir. Tayyib. Where is the niza'? What happened? It is the hadith, بين الرجل والكفر والشرك ترك الصلاة, abandoning the salat. The ulama said the salat here is one salat, because the Prophet ﷺ said the salat. طيب, this is one of their opinion. The other group of ulama, they used the hadith and they said no, we have a hadith that clearly shows that neglecting one salat, it does not take someone outside the fold of Islam, which is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is authentic in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud, and others have narrated the hadith. Hadith Ubad ibn Samit radiyallahu anhu. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول خمس صلوات افترضهن الله تعالى. Five salawat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them obligatory. من أحسن وضوءهن
وصلاهن لوقتهن وأتم ركوعهن وخشوعهن كان له على الله عهد أن يغفر له. طيب, here he said, five prayers, Allah obligated them. Whomever does their wudu properly and pray them on time, and he complete their bowing and their khushu', Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he forgives him. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَهْدٌ. And whomever does not do so, he does not have a covenant with Allah. إِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُ. If he wills, he will forgive him. وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ. And if he wills, he will punish him and torture him. So the hadith is talking about five daily prayers. He said, if you look after them, you do their wudu and their ruku' and their khushu', then Allah will forgive you. But if you don't, you neglect them, you delay one of them, you skip one of them, then you have no covenant with Allah. If He wants, He will give you, and if He wants, He will punish you. Here they said, this hadith proves that as long as someone, he is praying, and if his salat is not 100% good, or he misses one, or he does not have muhafaza on them. Yani they're saying, you see the hadith is clear, if you don't have muhafaza. Muhafaza is to preserve and keep. There is a chance that Allah forgives you. Since there is a chance that Allah forgives you, you can't be a kafir. See? Because the kafir is not forgiven. So since there is a chance that Allah forgives you, you can't be a kafir. And that's why they said that a kafir is the one who abandoned all the salawat, not the one who neglects some of the salawat. But still, I bring you back to an important point. If you neglect one salat, remember that the ulama differed in opinion whether you're a Muslim or not. If you like to be under that banner, you're welcome. If you like to be a person who the ulama differ about your Islam or not, you're welcome. You can be like that if you want. But if you want to be a person that you're 100% sure you're a Muslim and you're doing everything, then take care of your salawat and pray five times a day and do not miss a salat. Mafhum? No. Now, another important point I like to mention before I move to the second opinion, and that is an important dalil that I did not mention last week, which is it's going to help us and aid us to understand the second opinion too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's not going to waste your iman. A group of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked Rasulullah about their salat when they used to pray to Jerusalem. What has happened to it? We prayed this salawat and now the Qibla changed to the Kaaba. So what happens to their salawat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, Allah not going to waste your iman. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah in the second juz. I can't remember the ayah number, but it is in the second juz in the first few pages. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah is not going to waste your iman. And all the mufassirun, all of them, ulama of tafsir, they said it is the salat. Where is the dalil here? Put that aside, I'll bring you another point and pay attention. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. Ulama al-fiqh, they say, if you do not do Arafat, your Hajj is not accepted, you have to come back next year. Everything in Hajj can be expiated except Arafah. But why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called, and this is issue of usul al-fiqh. Usul al-fiqh. He called whole of Hajj with one act. The reality of the matter is all of Hajj Arafat, At-Tawaf, Sa'i, Mina, Muzdalifa, all this part of Hajj. But the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajj Arafat. That means it is the most important thing about Hajj. Without it, there is no Hajj. It's like you say, this center is Abu Adnan. Yani, without Abu Adnan, there is no center. True or not? Not true. Now, let's say a car dealership. You say, this car dealership is Abu Ahmed. Why? Because without Abu Ahmed, the dealership will collapse. Fahimt?
When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hajj Arafa, Al-Ulama, they said, أو تسمية الجزء بالكل تدل على ركنية الجزء. To call a proportion or a part with the act, all of it. What is the proportion? Arafa. What is the full act? Hajj. To label the proportion with all of the act, it testifies and it points to that this proportion is a pillar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say about the salat? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. So, iman, what is iman? Iman is without it you become what? Kafir. And Allah called, is the salat a proportion of iman or all of the iman? Proportion. But because salat is the main pillar of iman, without it there is no iman. And that's why the ulama, they say, without the salat you're a kafir. Because it's exactly like without Arafat there is no hajj, and without salat there is no iman. Fahim? This is one of the intricate adillah, that salat is without it there is no iman. You see where is the dalil came from. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called iman, which opposed to what? Kufr. With the proportion of it, but the most important part of iman is salat. Fahimt? That is what is the point. Now let's move to the other opinion. Of course, it is opinion of a very well-respected ulama. They said, how can you say that abandoning the salat totally is kufr, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, if he wants, we'll forgive him, and if he wants, he will punish him. Their adilla is two types. Pay attention, because this is a matter of aqidah also. The first dalil is the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, which is I narrated to you earlier. The second dalil is that abandoning an action of the limb does not take you outside the fold of Islam, which is to do with matter of aqidah. So let's pay attention to this. First, they said the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خمس صلوات افترضهن الله تعالى من أحسن وضوءهن وصلاهن لوقتهن وأتم ركوعهن وخشوعهن كان له على الله عهد أن يغفر له ومن لم يفعل فليس له على الله عهد إن شاء غفر له وإن شاء عذبه. He said five salawat. Allah obligated them on the Muslim. Whomever does their wudu properly and he prays them on time and he completes their bowing and their khushu', he has a covenant with Allah that he will forgive him. And whomever does not do so, what happened? He has no ahd, has no covenant with Allah. If he wants, he forgives him, and if he wants, he will punish him. They said, see, if you don't preserve the salawat, and you don't protect them, and you don't do the wudu properly, and so on, Allah will put you in Jannah if you wanted to. So how can you be a kafir if Allah is going to put you in Jannah? That is their dalil. That's one of the strongest adilla. That is what, there are other adilla, but that is one of the strongest. They said, hence, the kufr in the ahadith is the lesser kufr, the minor kufr. It can't be major kufr. Because of this hadith, they combined the two adilla and they came with this. How the other party came back and rebuked and refuted. So, when they took the hadith, pay attention. When they took the hadith, they said combining the adilla, the kufr becomes minor kufr. We say no, the kufr is still major kufr because this hadith has an answer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ. This here, the Prophet ﷺ said, whomever does not do so, does not do what? Does not pray, or he does not complete their wudu, and he does not pray him to their time, and he does not complete their ruku' or their khushu'. That is the question. Pay attention. The hadith says, 5 daily salawat. Allah obligated them. Whomever does the wudu properly, and he prays him on time, and he complete their ruku' and khushu', has a covenant with Allah that Allah will enter him paradise. And whomever does not do so. The hadith is talking about what? What is the subject of the hadith? Is the subject of the hadith not to pray him at all? Or the subject of the hadith not to perfect them? So, perfecting the salat leads to someone enter Jannah with no question asked. Not perfecting the salat, you still, either you go to Jahannam or either you get the forgiveness. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ, and whomever does not do so, is he talking about not praying or not doing إحسان الوضوء, doing the wudu properly, and doing and praying them on time, and completing their bowing and their prostration and their khushu'. It's talking about that. Because the hadith, nowhere it's talking about not praying. And that is when Ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu anhu, about الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. He's talking about this type of people who do not complete and do their wudu properly. You're paying attention to this, because this is important. Another hadith, it came supporting this hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah. عن أبي قتادة بن ربعي رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال افترضت على الله سبحانه وتعالى says this is a hadith قدسي, hadith قدسي, holy hadith. افترضت على أمتك 5 صلوات وعهدت عندي عهدا أنه من حافظ عليهن لوقتهن أدخلته الجنة ومن لم يحافظ عليهن فلا عهد له عندي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in a holy hadith, hadith Qudsi, I have obligated your ummah, O Muhammad, 5 daily prayers. وَعَهِدْتُ عِنْدِي عَهْدًا, and I took a covenant with me. Whomever preserve him on their time, I will take him to paradise. And whomever does not preserve him and perform him on their time, he has no covenant with me. So the hadith is talking about what? Protecting and preserving the salat. Let's read what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said. He said, about preserving the time of the salat. He said, وَهُوَ, about not preserving the salat on time. Rahimahullah, he said, about إِضَاعَةُ الصَّلَاةِ, wasting the salat. He said, في قوله تعالى, in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ, and a generation came after them, they have neglected and wasted the salat. وَأَمَّا تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ عَدَمُ الصَّلَاةِ لَا فِي الْوَقْتِ وَلَا بَعْدَ الْوَقْتِ. طيب. He said, rahimahullah, as for abandoning the salat, it is when you do not pray, not in time or not after the time. That is what? تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Why? Because the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. And this is what Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said. He said, And he took it from Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. He said, Subhanallah, this is what Imam Ahmad said. The Prophet ﷺ said, Man tarakaha, whomever abandoning it, he became a kafir. Not man jahadaha, not the one who deny its obligation. Refuting the one who deny the obligation. Then rahimahullah Ibn Taymiyyah said, وَإِذَا عُرِفَ الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ, and when we know the difference between the two. طيب. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّمَا أَدْخَلَ تَحْتَ الْمَشِيئَ مَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put under the will of Allah. Who goes under the will of Allah? The Muslim or the kafir? The Muslim. Because the kafir is not under the will of Allah. The kafir goes straight to Jahannam. Under the will of Allah is the Muslim who disobeyed Allah. True or not? طيب. لَا مَنْ تَرَكْ, not the one who abandoned. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said he is under the will of Allah, if he wants, he forgives him, and if he wants, he punishes him. Who is he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about? He's talking about the one who does not preserve the salat. He's not talking about the one who tarak, abandoned. وَنَفْيُ الْمُحَافَظَةِ يَقْضَضِي عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُمْ صَلَّوْا وَلَمْ يُحَافِظُوا عَلَيْهَا. And abandoning the preservation of the salat, it necessitates they have prayed, but they have not preserved the salawat.
وَلَا يَمَتَنَاوَلْ مَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ.
And it does not encompass the one who did not protect the salat, preserve the salat.
فَإِنَّهُ لَوْ تَنَاوَلَ ذَلِكَ قُتِلُوا كُفَّارًا مُرْتَدِّينَ بِلَا رَيْبٍ.
Because if does not encompass that, they'll be killed like kuffar, apostate, with no doubt. Also, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, I want to read to you what Rahimahullah he said about the hadith khamsu salawat. He said, it could be, he did not perform the salawat according to the description in the hadith, which is preserving their wudu, preserving their time, preserving their ruku' and their khushu'. Tayyib. And it could be that he did not pray all of them. He prayed some of them and he neglected some, as we explained about the two differences of opinion, takfir one salat and all of the salat. And it could be that he did not pray, not even one of them, and he neglected all of them. He's just giving maybes. Maybe here, maybe. And here he said, since the hadith is not clear in the meaning, the hadith becomes mutashabih. And then if there is something mutashabih, we go back to the muhkam, which is clear in appointing the kufur. Because the hadith is not clear. He are using his second argument. Tayyib. But the hadith, in a sense, it is clear when it's saying al-muhafaza. Because al-muhafaza is one thing and at-tark is another thing. Al-muhafaza is to protect and preserve. At-tark is to neglect all and not to pray. Yani when I say to something, utruk, yani leave it, don't touch it, don't come near it. But if I give you something and I say, take it and protect it, but you don't, you still have it, but you're not protecting it, you're harming it. But if I say to you, leave something, I mean you leave it and you stay away from it. And the hadith, what did it say? Hafad. Man hafadha alayhinna. And the other hadith, what it says? Tarak. Abandon. طيب. That is the first dalil, we finished with it. We move to the second dalil, which is their dalil says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whomever says La ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart, he will enter Jannah. And they said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there become people on the day of judgment, لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطْ. They did not do any good at all. And they'll be taken from Jahannam and put in Jannah. They did not do what? Any good. Of course, these two ahadith, to refute them, I need a series of 15 to 20 lectures, which is I'm doing Friday morning. Why? Because that goes back to a point. Point, the difference of opinion amongst Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Murji'ah. Are we lost or not yet? So far we lost. No. Some of you not, and some of you are. The one who attended the college and advanced Tawheed, and the one who attended the Friday morning, they're not lost. But the ones who did not attend any of that, we speak in Hebrew to them. Pay attention. Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say that Iman consists of four main pillars. Yani to be labeled as a mu'min, you have to have belief in your heart in the six pillars or the six points of faith or all the sets of belief you want to have. Action of the heart, you must have the love, hate, fear, everything that you need to have in your heart requires you to have in the Sharia, reliance on Allah, all that. You have to have the statement of the tongue, which is minimum to say La ilaha illallah, and action of the limbs, like praying, zakat, hajj, jihad, all that. You have to have the minimum requirement of all of that, otherwise you're not a mu'min. The Murji'ah, a misguided sect, they say if you believe with your heart, that's sufficient for you. If you believe in your heart and you have the actions of the heart, is sufficient. There is an intermediate, bit more moderate Murji'ah. They said if you have the belief in your heart and the action of the heart and statement of the tongue, that is sufficient for you. They said this is enough for you. You see now, Ahl Sunnah, they say no, you must have actions of the limbs. As a result, the Murji'ah, they said if you abandon actions of the limbs, you will remain a Muslim. Yani to believe in your heart and have actions of your heart and say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah on your tongue once in your lifetime, you're a mu'min. Ahl Sunnah, they say, no, you must implement some actions of the limbs. According to their principle, they said abandoning the salat cannot be kufr. And our proof, that iman, for you to be labeled as a mu'min, which is opposing to a kafir, if you believe in your heart and have actions of the heart, is enough. And they said, if you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, you will enter paradise. And on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ says, there are a group of people will be taken from Jahannam into Jannah, and they never did do any good. So they didn't practice any action of the limbs. Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah come back and say to them, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, I've written from over 1,080 men, all of them ulama al-hadith, that iman is saying and actions. Saying and action. Saying of the heart and action of the heart. Saying of the heart, yani believe of the heart. Saying of the tongue and action of the limbs. That is, Ahlul Hadith and Ahlul Sunnah, all of them agree. طيب. As for what you said, the Hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a group of people from Jahannam and put them in Jannah. We say to you, Naam, we believe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so, but we have a question. You said these people did not do any good. Did these people say La ilaha illallah on their tongue? Yes or no? طيب, you just said the Hadith said they did not do any good. And what is the best of good you can do? So they did do good. They did do good or not? They said La ilaha illallah. Are they kuffar? If they kuffar and you say Allah will take them from Jahannam and they kuffar, that you become a kafir. So they're Muslims. So they said La ilaha illallah. So they did good. But the Hadith says they didn't do any good. The Hadith, Ya Ikhwah, Ya Akhwah, just let me, just, I don't cut the chain of thought. The Hadith is saying, لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطْ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the word of Muhammad bin Nasr al-Marwazi. He said, this is the eloquent style of the Arabs. You didn't do any good, that means you did not do any good enough to become person who goes straight to Jannah. Meaning, we use that even in our speech today. Someone, you employ someone, and he's supposed to do 10 chores. He does one of them. When you come to sack him, you say, Ya Habibi, you didn't do any good. Why am I paying you? He says, but I did this. I sweep the floor every day. You say, yeah, but I hired you as a mechanic to repair 10 cars. You're not doing anything except sweeping the floor. You didn't do any good. You say to him, you didn't do any good. He says, but I sweep the floor. Yeah, but you didn't do any good. For me, this is not good. I hired you to fix 10 cars and you've never did anything out of that. So, take you back to the point, Ya Ikhwah. You didn't do any good. It doesn't mean you did zilch. Nothing, zero. No, you've done good, but it's not enough. As saying La ilaha illallah is not enough. Even though it is good work, or even having belief in their heart, it hasn't reached the level that it is good enough to take him out of Jahannam. That's why the hadith is general in its meaning. And it's mutashabih. We take it back to the muhkam. It's general in its meaning. Same thing with someone, when the Prophet ﷺ says, whomever says La ilaha illallah sincere from his heart, he will enter Jannah. طيب. The Prophet ﷺ says, whomever says La ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. Does La ilaha illallah has implications or not? Is the hadith here talking about saying La ilaha illallah and abandoning all the actions, or just saying La ilaha illallah as a first step that lead you to do the work? Yani it is like when you say to someone, if you get a licensed mechanic, you're set. Someone got a license and said, I haven't done nothing. Is he set or he is set to go to the doll? He is set to be poor. But when he gets his license, that means he will be set because he's going to implement the work. It's going to open doors of opportunity. So saying La ilaha illallah, yes, will open the door for Jannah for him. But if he implements what La ilaha illallah obligates him to do. Secondly, this hadith is also general. Saying La ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart will take him to Jannah if he does not nullify La ilaha illallah. And to us, abandoning the salat nullifies La ilaha illallah. Yani, the ones who say that if you say La ilaha illallah enter Jannah, we say to them, is it just absolute like this? Or it has some conditions that he does not curse Allah and his messenger? They say, yes, there is conditions. We say, you now contradicted yourself. Why? Because you're saying if he only says La ilaha illallah wa la anta Jannah, and that you disagree with it. Because you have to say, if he says La ilaha illallah and he does not nullify La ilaha illallah, and to us abandoning the salat is one of the nullifiers of La ilaha illallah. True or not? That's why we say to them the hadith is general in its meaning. Yes, whomever say La ilaha illallah and he does not nullify it, he will enter Jannah. That is the correct understanding. You and me will agree on that. Hence, to us, through the proof from the Quran and the Sunnah and the consensus of the Sahaba and the generation that follows them who agreed with them and the ulama, that abandoning the salat is one of the nullifiers of La ilaha illallah. Hence, this is the rebukes of their adillah. طيب. This is actually the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. I'm not reading of the book, so I'm saying what I understood from what he said rahimahullah. Some ulama did not make takfir on the one who abandoned the salat because kufr is not by the limbs. Kufr can only happen with the heart or by the limbs if it is accompanied with belief in the heart. You see the point? And that's why they say whomever denied the obligation of salat is a kafir. You see the point? Because denial of obligation, is it by the limbs or by the heart? By the heart. We say, if he prays five times a day behind the imam in the haram in Mecca and he believes in the heart that the salat is not obligatory, he's a kafir. So even if he prays. So the matter here, the Prophet ﷺ not talking about what's in the heart, talking about in the ahadith, an action of the actions of the limbs called taraka, abandoned, taraka. And a tark is action of the limbs. The tark is action of the limbs, which is an action of the limbs that is in itself kufr and it takes someone outside the fold of Islam. And abandon it, regardless what's in the heart, is kufr. You see the point? And that goes back to issue of iman, inshaAllah. Yani, the ones who are listening to these lessons, once they listen to the topic of iman and kufr according to Ahlul Sunnah, they can combine the two and understand it properly. That's why some ulama, they refrain of making takfir because they say, no, we can't make takfir because kufr cannot happen by the limbs unless it is accompanied with belief in the heart. Ulama Ahlul Sunnah, they come back and say to them, hang on a minute. Tayyib, what do you say about somebody rips the Quran to pieces and he throws it in the dump? They said to them, according to you, is he a kafir or not? They say, yes, he's a kafir. Tayyib, the question here, why they say he's a kafir even though they could not imagine kufr happening by the limbs? Because otherwise they go against the consensus of the ummah. But they find a way out. They said, him ripping the Quran and throwing it in the dump, it testified that he has no respect in his heart to the Qur'an. And that's why the action of the limbs is accompanied by the action of the heart. That's what they say. We say to them, and to us also if you want, we say anyone who abandoned the five daily salawat, he has no respect in his heart to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is he ordered the salat from above the seven heavens. Of course, this topic is a very, and I underline that, dangerous topic. It's not your role to make takfir on the actions, but what we are trying to say here is to bring the points together. But if you want to understand this topic, yani take this as a disclaimer, if you want to understand the topic properly, you have to go back to my recordings, inshallah, when they're released, about iman and kufr according to Ahlul Sunnah, because this issue here is a delicate, intricate issue, and you could make a mistake and make takfir. So I ask you, brothers, this is a lesson of fiqh, not a lesson of aqidah. That's why I cannot go into details. I'm only presenting the opinion about the takfir of salat with or without, yani the both opinions. And another dalil they use, يقول المولى عز وجل إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive polytheism and to take partners and worship partners beside him. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgives whatever lesser than that. They said, abandoning the salat is not shirk. And since abandoning the salat is not shirk,
Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive and could forgive the one who does not pray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive anything apart from shirk. Now the response is very easy, subhanallah, for this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith that بَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَالْكُفْرِ أَوْ الشِّرْكِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Between the man and the kufr and the shirk, abandoning tark as-salat. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called abandoning the salat shirk, called it the shirk. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made abandoning the salat shirk, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive shirk. And here the shirk is major shirk, not minor shirk, because as I have explained previously, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it the shirk. So it is the major shirk. And that's why abandoning the salat is major shirk that is not forgiven. One would say, Tayyib, what the person, if he abandoned the salat, what would he committing shirk in? What is he worshipping? We say this person has turned his back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipped his whims and desires beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did not have enough obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would lead him to abandon the salat. I myself, as a student of knowledge, I settled with the ulama who say that whomever abandoned the five daily salawat altogether, he's not a Muslim. He's outside the fold of Islam. Before I finish off, of course, as I said to you, judging someone to be an apostate, it's not the role of individual, it's a role of a qadi. That requires a qadi to come and witnesses and case opened, and the man has to defend himself and he is asked to repent. But what is our role towards someone who does not pray? We just obligate ourselves. Yani we say, okay, we don't inherit from him, we don't pray on him, we don't attend his funeral, we don't give him our inheritance, we don't marry him our daughter, our sister, sort of like that. But to us to go and say he's an apostate and we want to implement the hudud and the roles of apostate on an individual, we refrain from that because this is the role of an Islamic government that has the power to implement and a judicial power that is able to give the justice implemented on people by presenting witnesses and on all that. Because maybe some things to us are apparent and some things are hidden. We're not judges. We learn this so we can implement it on ourselves. طيب سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.